We are getting ready this weekend for daylight saving time to end and for the clocks to fall back an hour. But I wanted to get some perspective on how do we adjust properly and what are some of the health implications with changing the clocks? I know there's been an effort in Connecticut and even across the nation to eliminate changing the clocks, and some states have done it. Not a lot, but some have. And so I wanted to talk about it a little bit more this morning. Joining us on the show, very excited to have from Yale, Dr. Paul Dezon is here. And Paul, thank you so much for being here. I know as I was reading your profile on the Yale School of Medicine website, it shows here that you are pretty familiar with mood disorders and sleep-wake disorders. So you seem like the perfect person to talk to about this. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I mean, let's talk about how people can prep for the clocks falling back later this week.
Well, you know, I'm a fan of daylight savings time. I'll cut right to the chase. I think the advantage of daylight savings time is it gives us more light in the evening and the summertime. Light in the morning is wasted on our natural cycle in the summer. Now, originally, people hoped that they would save energy. They hoped there'd be fewer traffic accidents if you had more light in the evening. But it turns out more people go out and do stuff. So maybe you don't save so much energy, and maybe you don't reduce traffic accidents because there are more people on the road, more light, but more cars. So I think the advantage really is that human beings are active in the evening in the summer. So I'm a big fan of daylight savings time.
So you like it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, now, Paul, I don't like it.
Well, you're going to experience the sun going down earlier. And that's natural time when the sun goes down early. You're going to see that come next week. Now, in the spring, when we shift the clocks, that's Sleepy Monday. People lose an hour of their life. They show up a little more tired at work, a little more accidents, a little more heart attacks. Of course, you know, if you had a heart attack on Monday because the clock changed, you probably weren't in such great shape. You probably were going to have that heart attack maybe
that's
later
fair.
That week.
Like, we're used to it by now. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And there's even a slight drop in some studies in the fall when we shift the clocks. It turns out the body's clock affects our heart a lot. Now, the daylight savings time shift, it's like flying across one time zone from here to Chicago. I don't think it's that big a deal. What is a much bigger deal is the fact that in the winter, a fair fraction of people at our latitude get depressed. That's called seasonal affective disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to hit maybe 3-4% of Connecticut citizens. Really have a terrible winter every year.
Yeah.
And then another 10 or 15%, they feel it. They feel less energy in the winter months. And to me, that's a big public health problem, especially because we've got an easy treatment.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, Dr. Dezon, so do you feel like when you weigh the good with the bad, do you feel like we should still be shifting the clocks around twice a year?
Yes. I think we should stick with daylight savings time.
Really?
In fact, I personally would even leave it through the winter months. But that would give us some dark months in the morning when kids are going to school. So that's not going to be popular. But I am a fan of daylight savings time. I think this goes back to Ben Franklin. I think he was right. We waste morning light hours. The sun is up hours before we actually get up and do anything during the summer when we don't shift our clock. So I'm a fan of daylight savings time.
So I personally am not, only because I work at 3 o'clock in the morning. So when the sun is out at 9 p.m., it is the worst falling asleep. But again, I'm in the minority, Dr. Dezon. I mean, a lot of people are not working at 3 a.m. So I'm in the minority. I have no issue saying that. I do not like that the sun is out bright at 8:30. It's also impossible to get our kids to sleep because they don't want to go to bed. It's like, well, if the sun is up, then I'm up. It's like, well, no, you got to go to bed. You need to go to sleep.
Yeah,
but
well,
that's personal.
You're absolutely right. For people on your work schedule, daylight savings time, not a good deal. For most people who work a different kind of schedule, it's more shifted. like most human enterprises towards the evening hours, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
But the really important thing, you know, we're all going to have a tough couple of days, and it's like shifting one time zone.
Mm-hmm.
The really important thing for people to understand is some people's mood is going to really sink going through November and December.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people, I want to make sure that they understand that's called seasonal affective disorder. And those people are really going to benefit from getting bright light first thing in the morning. They're welcome to take a look at our website, the Winter Depression Research Clinic at Yale. If you search that, you'll see recommendations about how to do light therapy first thing in the morning. That's the really significant public health problem at our latitude.
We've got those clocks changing in a matter of days. This upcoming weekend, the clocks fall back, if you will. But instead of being concerned with the next couple of days after that and being off your sleep schedule, the bigger concern, according to the Yale School of Medicine, is really the long-term effect on your mood and sort of a seasonal depression. And we're talking today to Dr. Paul Dezon, who's with Yale and really has a great understanding of things like mood disorders and also sleeping, you know, your sleep-wake disorders and being a big issue. So, Paul, you were saying before that you're not so concerned with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. You're more worried about November, December, you know, months, the winter months, really, and impacting people long term. So could you talk a little bit about how we could be proactive versus reactive?
Yes, absolutely. So it's normal for human beings to feel worse in the winter, to have less energy. 9 out of 10 people, when you do scientific studies, feel less energy, less get up and go, less vigor through the months of December, January, February. That's normal. But for some people, that's very extreme. So sometimes people who suffer during the winter don't get taken seriously. Everyone says, well, that's normal. Well, some people's lives actually shut down. So I'm always happy to talk about seasonal affective disorder, winter depression, because there's an easy treatment. Exposure to light fixes people. The most powerful time to be exposed to light is first thing in the morning. Probably getting more light in your life anytime is good, make you feel better. We all feel better working in a bright office than in a dark office. But the time to really impact the body's clock is first thing in the morning. We recommend people who have serious changes in the winter that they be exposed to bright light first thing in the morning. They can take a look at our Winter Depression Research Clinic website to get advice about how to use a bright light device to get a good dose of light first thing in the morning.
I know there are, for example, like alarm clocks that have a almost like a sunrise effect or something where even if it's dark outside or you have the blackout shades, it'll almost appear like there's a sunrise in your bedroom. I've heard of things like that before. But are those things that you're talking about where you're almost waking up, obviously kind of naturally, but you're exposed to light almost as soon as you wake up? Like that's really when you should be seeing it?
Actually, I'm talking about a strong pulse of bright light for a half an hour. However, the devices you're talking about are very interesting. If it's a proper device that truly simulates an early morning dawn in your bedroom, that's probably very effective. The problem is that if you go to Amazon, there are all these cheap devices that really aren't very bright.
Mm.
And they sell these things for $10 or $20, $30. And if they were properly designed, they probably work. Dawn simulators are clinically very useful. When we use those in treating patients, we use typically a much brighter light source than is typical. It's very sad. If you go to buy a light treatment device, you go to Amazon or someplace like that, some of the devices are really good quality devices, but a lot of them are just crap. That's why I push people towards our website. We scientifically, in a peer review, that means outside neutral scientists review our work, we've rated different devices, and so people can get good information about what's likely to help them.
And another thing, too, Dr. Dezon, while I have you for a couple minutes, how common is it for people to have an extreme change in their mood as they age? So I used myself as an example because I've always been the happy-go-lucky person in my life. I still am that way, very positive. But to give you some perspective, I'm one of five kids. So growing up, we were the seven dwarfs, my parents and my siblings and I. I was always happy. That was one of the only dwarfs that made sense. Me and then my father was sleepy, but that's a whole different conversation. So I was always that person. And all of a sudden, as I've gotten older in the last couple of years, I have noticed that exactly what you're talking about, the extreme darkness is very in like the shift, you know, after the clocks change and everything. The winter's difficult. It never used to be difficult for me, but it feels like about 2 years ago, all of a sudden a huge shift happened. Is that common where you go most of your life and it's not a problem, but then all of a sudden it could, you know, it could kind of creep up on you? Because I think people should realize that just because you grew up and it never affected you, or maybe most of your adulthood it didn't, that doesn't mean it's going to stay that way.
Absolutely. People's mood can change. People can have the onset of seasonal affective disorder at an older age. It's more common that people who have seasonal affective disorder will tell us, gee, I experienced this even as a child. I could remember that. But certainly we see people in our clinic who have been well for decades, and now they're coming in and saying, Doc, something's happening. The important thing is don't say, oh, this is my imagination, or no, it's normal to feel worse in the winter. You really could be squandering quality of life if you don't take seriously how seasons can affect your mood. Some people really need treatment. Usually, we don't need antidepressants. Usually, we have a perfectly natural therapy, light. You buy a device, you have it for decades. That's why I'm always happy to talk to any journalist about how the seasons affect us. We have a major public health problem. We have to get the word out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Paul Dezon, I want to thank you so much for getting the word out here on Melissa in the Morning, and I look forward to having you back on the show again really soon. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And again, Paul is an associate professor of psychiatry at the Yale School of Medicine right here on Melissa in the Morning.